Hey now, what's going on? Nice to have you here. I'm Jim Rome. We start our third hour. And this program is, in fact, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so into hour number three, coming up next segment, the head football coach at Miami U, Chuck Martin. Phone lines are open. This guy starts me off with, "Hey, Rome, I don't have any beef. I mean, I did, but I ate it." Signed, Plain McMuffin. Jack in La Habra, currently working in San Juan Cap. Unwore Clay Hilton. That email tells me two things. One, SC fan is still pissed that Clay Hilton's coming back. We've covered this already. And number two, you still like the idea of people gaining weight. Me, I'm going to tend to look at the football side of things and what it means to Ole Miss, to the SEC, to the rest of us. I really don't care how much weight Lane Kiffin has gained. Because the Lane Kiffin era at Ole Miss is now officially underway. It's officially underway, and it's so much better than I expected. And I expected it to be great. But the moment that I heard that he was going back to the SEC, I was hyped. Because the SEC just got better. In fact, all of life got better. But the reality is, you know, things never live up to the hype. This is. The reality is even better than I imagined, starting with the footage of Lane landing at the airport in Oxford and being greeted by an estimated 1,000 fans. It's like some kind of conquering hero returning home. He's shaking hands. He's saying hello. He's holding babies as soon as he gets off the airplane and being told to get a burner phone. Hell yes. This is a guy who is settling in quickly and getting comfortable in his new gig. How comfortable? Check out this answer when he was asked about the welcome that he received.
Talk about the reception you received from the fan base. Did you ever think you'd be kissing and hugging babies at the tarmac when you got off the plane?
A lot better than another tarmac experience that I had.
Woo! What a legend. There's your GOAT coach right there. Take the pain and humiliation and embarrassment of being broken off on the tarmac at LAX and then turn it into a killer line when you're hired at Ole Miss. And that's not nearly as good as when he was asked if he planned to stay in Oxford for a while. And he responded this way.
You didn't see how big my buyout was yet, did you?
Damn, Lane. Are you going to be here for a while? I mean, we've seen your act. We know you like to move around. Are you going to be here for a while? Yo, Holmes, you obviously have not seen my buyout, did you? This guy's so good. How about when he was asked about his suit?
There's a lot of stories behind this outfit. I had some really good suits, but then I went to Alabama and I gained some weight, so those don't fit anymore. So this isn't even my suit, but this is actually Jimmy Sexton's suit. So he's lost weight. So we're kind of even now.
Oh yeah. My guy is back, baby. Copping to gaining weight, admitting it's not his suit, man. This dude is so good. And he's back after winning two titles in 3 years at Florida Atlantic. And after coaching under Nick Saban at Alabama. And after having changed. All right, that's the big question. How different is this guy right now? How evolved is this guy right now? How mature is this guy right now? How different is he? Or do guys like that not change at all? The question was put to Lane. He said, quote, "I think I've matured a lot. And I understand that it's not about me, but about getting the most out of the players, helping them grow, making it an experience that we can all be proud of. We all want to win. There are different ways to do that. I've been so fortunate to learn under two of the best in Nick Saban and Pete Carroll, both of whom have won championships but have taken different styles. I've taken the parts of those styles that fit me and blended them together," end quote. See, that's my thing. The biggest concern for Lane Kiffin in Oxford is not about fit, because he already looks and feels like he's been coaching and hanging in the Grove for years. This guy shows up, he's got all those people eating out of his hand already. It's not about fit. It's not about whether or not this guy can coach. We know this. This guy knows offense. He knows how to get the most out of an offense. He's been on or led coaching staffs that have won 5 conference championships in 6 years with 5 different starting quarterbacks. We know this guy can scheme. We know this guy can X and O. We know this. This is why he keeps getting opportunities and jobs, because he's smart. He can do this. No, my biggest concern about Lane Kiffin is that he has matured. I'm really concerned about that, that he's matured a lot. My concern is he might be overly mature and responsible. You know, like too sedate, too mature, too patient, too understanding. The Lane Kiffin who rolled into Knoxville 10 years ago and had Coach O throwing overhead projectors against walls and Dad Monty tearing off his shirt the night before facing Alabama. Now that's the guy that I want, because that was awesome. I'm talking about the Lil Wayne Lane. The smoke weed, talk bleep like Lane Kiffin era. Smoke weed, talk like Lane Kiffin. That's who they hired. That's who you want. I don't want to lose that guy. I mean, sure. I mean, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. And it's okay to grow and learn and evolve. Man, but don't lose that edge. Don't lose that fire. Don't lose that willingness to go toe-to-toe with the best. Talk junk with the best. Man, don't lose that. But when I hear him dropping one-liners about being on the tarmac, I've got a good feeling. And when an estimated 4,000 fans are showing up to hear this guy speak, that feeling got even better. Because part of the reason that Matt Luke was let go was due to fan apathy. Like, they didn't give a damn. The energy was down. Place was dead. No sign of apathy yesterday. Just 4,000 folks who gave Lane a 20-second standing ovation before he even spoke. That's not apathy. That made me feel even better about that hire. And then my feeling went through the roof when I heard this.
You know, we didn't come here to be good. All right, that's not why we're here today. We came here to be great.
Bam! I love it. I love that the Lane train is already picking up speed. The Lane train, it's a freaking locomotive without brakes going downhill. Grant Tisdale, a true freshman quarterback who reportedly was planning to transfer from Mississippi earlier in the season, tweeted yesterday, quote, "I'm back. Hashtag hottie toddy."
Hottie toddy.
I got to tell you, because of the simulcast, we are limited with how we travel this show. I do not take the show on the road very often because, well, this. I've got this amazing studio here in Southern California. If there's going to be a TV component and a simulcast, it's hard to move the show. However, October 3rd, 2020, Nick Saban and Bama to Oxford, Mississippi. I don't know. I'd have to take a look at that. In fact, I might not even wait for the invite. I might just show up. I don't take the show on the road very often, but if there is ever a reason to go on the road, to go to the Grove, to hang with the Queen, and then to see Lane Kiffin, that would be it. Ole Miss, what's up?
We didn't come here to be good. All right, that's not why we're here today. We came here to be great.
Came here to chunk up and not fit into our suits and kick some ass. I'm so glad this guy's back where he belongs. The SEC. Hey, Ole Miss, I don't want to invite myself. I hate people who do that. That's a bad move. But I'm inviting myself. We got to find a way to get this thing on the road. We got to take this show on the road. And not one of those things like, yeah, we'll just take TV off that day. That's all right. They'll understand. No, I'm not saying that at all. We got to take that TV show on the road. We got to do this thing right. I got to be there.
Yo.
What's it like?
You didn't see what my buyout was yet, did you?
I love that. How long are you going to be here now, man? Don't get our hopes up. Hey, you obviously have not seen my buyout. I ain't going anywhere. It's going to cost a hell of a lot of money to get rid of me or to let me go. I'm not scratching that check. I'm home. How about it? Do you like your new coach? What's it like? Were you one of the 1,000 that showed up at the airport? Were you one of the 4,000 to show up and hear him speak? What's it feel like? You've got energy. You've got juice. Because he's not there to be good. He's there to be great and talk junk like Lane Kiffin. I got news for you. He might be a little more polished. He might be a little more mature. That guy ain't changing. And that's a good thing. He is who he is. Dear Rome, your doc said that you should not clean your ears every day? Thanks. That'll save me a lot of money on boom mics. Sign the basketball commish. Steven PHX, we're the Patriots, celebrating their next TD by all pretending to look through binoculars towards the Bengals bench. Maybe. 1-800-636-8686. I want to talk about Le'Veon Bell. Couldn't go this weekend, was too sick to play, but was seen at a bowling alley the night before the game. Not just bowling, but bowling in orange leather pants. Dear Jim, did you just say that the Lane Kiffin era is underweight? No, it's not. Sincerely, Souffle Cheese Blitzen. Paul in Albany, War Foodie Kitchens, and Baker Idiot Face missing the playoffs. I did not say the Lane Kiffin era was underweight. I said underway. It's underway. It's off to an amazing start.
Then I went to Alabama and I gained some weight, so those don't fit anymore.
Dude's funny, man. He's coming for everybody and everything, and I love it. And Mike D for three tweets. War Lane Kitchen getting smashed under the SEC rolling pin, but devouring the non-conference cupcakes.
Smash.
I see what you did there. That's kind of clever. He's going to win there now. He's going to have success there. He didn't go there to be good. He went there to be great. And I think he will be. Hey, Rome. I don't like Lane. Regards, Princess Diana's driver. Mitch from Buffalo. Bro, you are so close to getting blocked. One more like that and you're blocked too. And I don't even need to describe why that is. A Charger fan, Dan, tweets, all we want to know is how soon Lane will have his kicker attempt a 75-yard field goal. Signed, SEC coaches. Not soon enough as far as I'm concerned.
Wait a minute. He's bringing Janikowski out.
Okay, there we go.
Hey, hold on. Let's start to do the math on this. This would be 76 yards. This wouldn't only be the all-time record.
The wind.
This would completely shatter it.
Wind is in his face.
76 yards into the wind. Unimaginable. Janikowski hits it as hard as he can. It's not even going to make it to the goal. This could be returned. Remember, Cromartie did this.
You know what's unimaginable? That they fired that guy 2 days later. Why? For doing something amazing? He ran Janikowski out there to try a 76-yard field goal into the wind. Like, there have been a lot of great Raider moments. Top that, Magic. Find me a better moment than that. He had his kicker try a 76-yard field goal into the wind. And what? 2 days later, there is an overhead projector presser where Lane gets fired? So glad he did that. It's one of the greatest moments in NFL history. And now he's back in the SEC. The only thing better would be Lane back in the NFL. And trust me, once he does what he needs to do, once he does what he's going to do at Ole Miss, he might make it back into the NFL. But first things first, he's got some work to do at Ole Miss. I love it. I mean, I'm not saying this tongue-in-cheek. I'm not saying this for effect. I love that this guy's back in the SEC. And I love that he's in that division and has to deal with who he's going to have to deal with. Because you know why? It's not a matter of him having to deal with Saban. Saban's going to have to deal with Lane. It's not who he has to deal with. They all have to deal with him. When we come back, the head coach at Miami U, Chuck Martin, joins us. It's coming up next. And then I want to talk about Le'Veon. He went bowling the night before he couldn't play because he was too sick. Optics are not great. Stay tuned. All that still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. As promised, we are joined by the head football coach at Miami University. He is in his sixth season with Redhawks, a two-time National Coach of the Year. Led Grand Valley State to a pair of national championships. Led Miami to a pair of divisional titles. Miami beat Central Michigan 26-21 Saturday to win the MAC championship. They're going to take on Louisiana in the Lending Tree Bowl on January 6th. My guest is Chuck Martin. Chuck, it's good to have you back in the jungle. How are you?
It's good to be back. I'm doing very well.
Good. Now, Chuck, you and I first spoke in the summer of 2014 after you had taken over as head coach. You were taking a pay cut to go from offensive coordinator at Notre Dame to coach a team that was 0-12. Now you are the MAC champions. I want to go into some detail on that journey, but overall, how does it feel to have taken a program from rock bottom to a championship?
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing, really, what we've been able to accomplish and what these kids have been through, and finding kids that it's not hard to find kids that come here now, but it was hard to find kids that would jump on the Titanic 6 years ago and 5 years ago and say, we believe in what you guys are going to do, and we're going to come in here, and we're going to trudge through all the crap and figure out a way to take something that's not very good right now and make it as good as anybody. So very proud of the kids that joined us a long time ago, our senior classes. You know, their first year, they were 3-9. It wasn't much fun, and to see the looks on their face Saturday and on the field after the game was pretty special.
Chuck Martin joining us. You know, when we talked also in 2016, you had started 0-6, and then you won the last six games. You won the division. You went to a bowl game. As you look back, how significant was that season in terms of getting to where you are right now?
Huge. It was kind of the turning point of all of it, because when we were 0-6, we had been 4-26 in our last 30 conference games at that point in time. We were two games into the conference schedule that year, and we were 4-26 the last four-plus years in league play. Since that time, we've gone 23-8. So obviously, getting our starting quarterback that year back and running the table, and that was the first time they've had success in about 4 or 5 years. And since then, we've just kind of taken off, and we've been as good as any team in the league the last 3 years. But this year, we kind of found a way to put it together with a bunch of young kids and win a bunch of close games and finally get the title that we've been looking for.
We're talking to Chuck Martin. You know, Chuck, this season, three of your first four games were at Iowa, at Cincinnati, at Ohio State. I mean, obviously, there are easier ways to get into a season, and that's the kind of thing that could crush some teams. What did you and your players take away from that?
Yeah, we were pretty crushed. We lost Ohio State 76-5, and they scored the last 76, and we were starting conference play, kind of licking our wounds, and you know how it is in sports. It doesn't matter who you play when you lose, and you lose big. Your confidence and everybody around doesn't believe, and everybody's got fingers to point at people. So we had a long week before we played Buffalo in our first conference game, just trying to get our kids back to believe that they could be a good team in our league. And obviously since then, Ohio State's done that to a lot of people, but it still didn't feel good to happen to you. So incredibly proud of how our kids were resilient and had belief and had confidence and bounced back from a very tough non-league slate, because it didn't put us in a great frame of mind to go into league play, but we won a tough game against Buffalo. And then the major thing with this team is we won five conference games all by one score or less, right down to the MAC championship game Saturday. So they've been crazy resilient and just found ways to win games down the stretch of games. And we don't score a ton of points, but we do enough on OD and special teams to find ways to win games.
Honestly, Chuck, I think it's amazing the way you guys responded to that loss. I mean, 76-5, but even Maurice Thomas was saying afterwards, crazy enough, we knew that we would be good after that loss. Everybody was like, oh my gosh, you got beat that bad, all that stuff. But we were like, quote, we're good. We in the locker room were like, we're going to take what we can from that loss and get better. And then after that, we hit full stride. So either the culture was already instilled or they knew it themselves, but the response was really something. And you mentioned the championship game against Central Michigan. I'm not sure you could have drawn up a better start than Thomas returning the opening kickoff all the way down to the two, and then you guys punching it in two plays later. What was the mood on the sideline like after the start to that game?
Yeah, no, obviously it was awesome. They decided to fur and they kick it to, you know, we got a kid that's a really good returner, and our special teams have been lights out all year. And then we get a couple blocks, and Mo doesn't need a lot of help, and he rips it 98 yards or two. And, you know, we're an underdog again. The other amazing thing about this team, we've played 13 games, 12 against 1A opponents. We've been an underdog in 10 of our 12 games. And in the league, we've been an underdog 7 out of 9 times. So we're an underdog again Saturday, and it was nice to kind of make that first swing of the game and let them know that, hey, we're here to play. And so to go 5-2 in league games, that supposedly you're not good enough. These kids have kind of had a chip on their shoulder. We got a true freshman quarterback. We got two true freshmen that start at right and left guard for us. and we got a lot of young kids. So we haven't been totally respected based on Vegas. And I usually say Vegas usually knows what they're doing, but they've been pretty wrong on our team this year.
Chuck Martin joining us. I love that. I would normally say just that. Vegas knows what they're doing, but they have been wrong. So when you lay it out like that and you put the numbers out there like that, let me ask you, how much of this team's success is about pure talent and how much of it is about mental and physical toughness and grit?
Yeah, and obviously you have to have both. If you don't have talent, you know, you just can't will your way to victory. So we obviously have enough talent. We're just really inexperienced on offense. We have a really good defense. We have four senior specialists that are really talented. We got a kicker that's going to kick on Sundays. He's 25 or 29. He's 6 of 7 outside of 48 yards. So we've kind of been old school. You know, got a true freshman quarterback in Brett Gabbert, Blaine Gabbert's younger brother, who's had a really nice year as a freshman year of our league, but he's a true freshman playing quarterback. We have two freshmen starting at guard, so we've at times been more conservative than we normally are offensively just because of the youth and inexperience on that side of the ball. So we've just kind of found ways. We knew we're going to have to play low-scoring games, and our league's high-scoring, but we're not, so we play games in the 20s, which lends to be close, but we get used to playing those types of games, and the other teams in our league really aren't. So a lot of it has to do with talent, but a lot of it has to do with toughness and perseverance. And we showed that after that Ohio State loss when everybody kind of left us for dead and we bounced back. And we had to play Buffalo, won our league last year in our first game, and find a way to knock them off. So our kids are pretty resilient. They're pretty tough. Our culture has been set. I remember the first time I talked to you, the reason you want to talk to me is I was trying to sell a can of a good ass kicking if he came to Miami to play for me. And we found kids like that. We've recruited kids that want to be tough-minded, want to be pushed, want to be challenged. And in a year like this, it really showed that we've recruited the right type of kid.
Man, I love it. Chuck Martin is joining us. We did talk about that back then. So knowing this then, your work is unfinished. You've got a great opportunity ahead of you. But what's it mean to you to know that these players are now going to know for the rest of their lives, no matter what they do, they were part of turning around the program during some of its roughest years, and nobody can take that from them?
No doubt. We talked about after the game. We've been talking about it for 5 years. You know, very proud tradition here at Miami, the cradle coaches and all the success and all the championships they've won and all the things they've done. But we took it over, and, you know, it was 0-16 when we got here. We ran it up to 0-22 before we found a way to win a game. And it was the bleakest most. I say we scored 9 touchdowns in a full season the year before we took over. So it was a disaster. And like you said, these kids know. And a lot of our kids talked about after Saturday's winning the conference championship game that, hey, they know when they came here, there was a proud program, but it's fallen, and they know now that they've restored the pride to a really, really proud football program.
All right, so finally, Chuck, you've got Louisiana in the bowl game. How do you go about preparing for that challenge? What's it look like to you?
Yeah, they're very athletic. We have one like opponent. They beat OU by 20, who we beat 24-21, who's the other top, one of the other top teams on the east side. So there's one like opponent, but we're tremendously athletic. Really good skill, really good on both sides of the ball. So, again, we're 14-point underdogs, so probably pretty fitting way for us to end our season. They're playing three and a half hours from home. We're playing 16. They'll probably be a pretty partisan crowd, and kind of everything stacked against us. We've only played 5 home games, so this will be, I think, our 9th road game of the year. So pretty much par for the course for us. We're going to be on the road. We're going to be underdog against a really talented team that people don't think we're going to beat, but I'll take the kids that are getting on the flight with me any day of the week.
I was going to say, Chuck, I'm guessing you would not have it any other way. Miami beat Central Michigan 26-21 Saturday. They win the MAC championship. Next up, the Lending Tree Bowl game on January 6th, Miami against Louisiana. He is the head football coach at Miami University. Chuck, so good to have you back on. Good luck. We'll be watching that game closely.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Great having you, Chuck. Thanks so much. That's a great interview. Really good stuff. All right, 1-800-636-8686. It's not often that you hear a coach reference the line, but the point in doing so, I think he's saying is, hey, look, they're still sleeping on us. They're still not giving us the respect that we've earned. That's fine. I'm going to get on a plane with these kids, and these are the guys I want to go to battle with. I love it. I love that conversation. Your thoughts, your reaction, Chuck Martin, head coach at Miami U. I wonder if my man Rich Ackerman's going to work that into a story. If anybody could, it's Rich. All right, so one last segment. When we come back, we are open. I want to talk about Le'Veon. Le'Veon has handled everything as well as you possibly can, given how badly it's gone with the Jets. But then he was not going to play this weekend because he was illing. But not so sick that he couldn't bowl in orange leather pants. Did he do the right thing? can you blame the guy? Or, in fact, do you blame the guy? I'll have that story for you next. Goodbye, Windows 7. Hello, Windows 10. Dell's holiday sale helps you save big on the latest business computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, you get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL. Here is the sports update that I promised you. Goodbye, Windows 7. Hello, Windows 10. Dell's holiday sale helps you save big on the latest business computers with Intel Core processors. And you get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL. Reminder, the Jim Rohn podcast is free. It drops tomorrow. Something totally different. Danny DeVito, who is now part of the Jumanji franchise. That movie is going to drop on Friday. And he is in it for the first time. Danny DeVito is a legend. I've already had the conversation. We did it yesterday. It was a blast. So you want to look for that tomorrow. We'll push that out after the program tomorrow. Danny DeVito is a part of the podcast. Once again, I'm proud of the Jim Rohn podcast. I'll put that guest list up against anybody else's. Ike, he's done a very good job of booking that thing since coming in. Good job. Good effort, old man. Way to go. Ike, from me to you, sincerely, I'm looking you right in the eye. Don't die on me, Pops. You're doing a great job. You got Danny DeVito. Ike has gotten people that I've never spoken with. Broham, go smash another cup of Swiss Miss hot chocolate. You earned it. On me. Put some of those little fake marshmallows in there, too. Do it. Good job, Mr. President. All right, then. I hate to be calendar guy with it, but it is December 10th. You know what that means? Whether you're ready or not, there is no denying it's already that time of year again. I know. I was in New York City this weekend. I know for a fact it's that time. I saw what happened to that city. I flew back into LAX Sunday night. I saw what happened to that airport. No matter where you look, flip on the TV, turn on the radio, look outside, go to any airport that matters. Thanks, Alvin. It's that time of year. You know it. I know it. The season is here. The season being flu season, of course. Look, I don't want to get too graphic. I experienced it firsthand this morning. Man, I hope that's not what that is. Influenza, the bastard viral infection that doesn't give a damn who you are or what you do for a living. Bastards. Ask all pro athletes who've been bear hugging garbage cans, dropping weight the involuntary way. Right before I hit air this morning, I thought it hit me. It's going around. Last week, it was the Seahawks. This week, it was Jets running back Le'Veon Bell. Now, the big difference here being the Seahawks showed up. They balled out for their Monday night game against the Vikings. Whereas Le'Veon Bell stayed home and napped it out when the Dolphins were in town on Sunday. It's smart, right? Bed rest is the key to beating back the flu, especially this strain. So I've got no problem with it. And based on how Adam Gase has used Le'Veon Bell this season, there really is no difference in him being in the backfield or staying home and sawing a few logs. I mean, what do we even know? So, Lev not only missed practice on Thursday and Friday, he also missed the walkthrough Saturday. So, clearly, he was not going to play on Sunday. Well, even if he was, Gase probably wouldn't have let him play. What he didn't miss, though, he missed the practices, he missed the walkthrough, and then he missed the entire game on Sunday. But what he did not miss was his chance to roll a 13-pound Brunswick down the lane. Because the New York Post has the exclusive snitch report that Le'Veon Bell went all Le'Veon Ball or Bowl with it. He hit the alley between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. on a Saturday night You heard me right. Jets fan. P-I-N-S. Pins. 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 Bowling pins. Is there anything more Jet than their $52 million running back missing a couple of practices and a walkthrough and a game only to be spotted in orange leather pants rolling a few rocks down the track at a New Jersey bowling alley 12 hours before kick? 12 hours before a game that he did not show up for because he was too sick. Sam Darnold missing a month because of mono. Can't believe that story. Le'Veon Bell has the entire office thinking he's home pulling from a bottle of NyQuil. And really, he's out there at the Bowl-O-Rama doing his best Marshall Holman impression, his best Mark Roth impression, his best Nelson Burton Jr. impression, his best Pete Weber impression, his best Johnny Petraglia impression. You get in the sense that I used to watch the PBA Tour back in the day when I was a kid. Man, I loved it. I loved it. Chris Schenkel, Bo, Nelson Burton Jr., Bo. I used to love between matches when Nelson Burton Jr. would show up and tell you how to execute covering this 7-10 split or something. Anyway, Lev is out there the day before the game, and he can't play in the game, but he's bowling. And not just bowling, but in your face about it with orange leather pants. So the optics really aren't that good. You know, for a guy who'd been, actually, in his defense, the guy had been nothing but a pro since arriving in New York to play for a coach who didn't want him in the first place, made it pretty clear he didn't want him in the first place, and yet Lev had been handling himself and his business. Up until now, this guy had been the adult in the room. He had handled the circumstances, and the circumstances being the Jets suck. Adam Gase refuses to give his $52 million Pro Bowl running back the ball. But despite 14 weeks of that, Lev has been a pro. Until Lev went Lev 12 hours before the game and called out sick. Called in sick. Didn't practice, didn't walk through, couldn't go. So the optics are not great, right? The guy's bowling the night before and the post has got the snitch report and now we all know. So the optics are not good. But then again, what the hell do I care about the optics with the Jets? If the optics aren't good, it's actually hilarious. The fact that this dude went to one of the most public places ever on a Saturday night before a game where he couldn't play and wore orange leather pants is incredible. My man was not looking to blend in. He was looking to stand out. And he did so in Jersey, only a few miles away from where the Jets train. At this point, I'd be surprised if he didn't put his name up on that board as Le'Veon Bell, number 26, New York Jets. I couldn't care less what Adam Gase is going to do about this. I am way more interested in how Lev Bowl rolls the Brunswick. What I want to know is, does this guy lean over to pick up the ball out of that little return conveyor belt? And does he hesitate before he runs up to the line the same way he does when he's carrying the football? Does he roll it downhill? Or does he look for the grooves and spin it east-west? Is he moving laterally? Or, as Adam Gase is trying to get him to do, is he hitting that hole more quickly? If this dude bowled over a 70, then that's more pins than yards that he's rushed for in any single Jets game this year, if he rolled better than 70. If you're a fantasy owner who missed out on starting him against the Dolphins in this past week, maybe your commissioner will accept a new kind of PPR. Pins per roll. It's worth an ask, especially if you got bounced from the playoffs in your league. Now, I made it pretty clear. This is a big bowling house. You can tell by the way I'm spitting my knowledge on bowling from back in the day. Then you've got, and I'm not the only one. I know the sport. I follow it. But then there's one guy on the staff, no names mentioned, old man Ike, who participates in the sport. Old man Ike is out there once a week in leagues throwing and living in the 200s. Hey, Pops, what's your average? 170 is the average. How many leagues a week are you currently rolling? How many leagues a week, bro? Just one. All right. 170. What is your high game? 237. Was it in league? Was it league sanctioned? You did that in a league. All right, man. How'd that feel? I'm just having a conversation with Ike that nobody can hear. All right, anyway, his high game is a 237. Did it in league action. He's currently only in one league. It's on Sunday nights. He's not the only one. Frequent jungle fill-in host, Brian Weber, used to do play-by-play of college bowling.
Scrivens has an answer.
And again, I've got takes for days on Earl Anthony, the Southpaw. Man, he was so good. Mark Roth, Marshall Holman, Petraglia, Pete Weber, and that other guy with the wrist thing. So again, the optics are not great. It looks kind of unprofessional. But the fact of the matter is, it's hilarious. It's hilarious because it's the Jets. It's hilarious because the Jets are even more terrible and even more unprofessional. Nothing better than Lev sitting around on Saturday night knowing that he does not have to go to work the next day and just saying, screw it, bro. Let's go bowling.
Dude, let's go bowling.
F it, dude. Let's go bowling.
Dude, let's go bowling.
Any other team, and it's worth some sort of umbrage or outrage. But with the 5-8 Jets, I'm having a hard time finding it anything other than what it is. Hilarious. Really funny. Really on brand. You know, sort of like old man Ike being in a bowling league. Really funny and really on brand. So in terms of what Adam Gase does with this, I don't give a damn. They can fine him. They can do whatever they want. I couldn't care less. It's great. Nice job, Lev. If you're going to bowl the night before you can't play in a game, two things. Number one, they're going to find out. There's no way that guy pulls that off. There's no way that that goes down without somebody letting the Post know. Thanks, Mr. President. Number two, if you're going to do it and they're going to find out, you sure as hell better wear orange leather pants. Hey, Rome, did you say it's flu season? Please. I would take the flu virus out with one quick spritz. Signed, bowling shoe spray. Is it me or those cans always empty, too? Yeah, great. That's going to do a lot of good. That guy's got, like, those shoes are the most disgusting things ever, and you're blowing air into them. Now I'm done, which is too bad, because there's a lot of react to that. Huge call. You got plans this weekend, so be prepared with windshield wipers that can handle anything at all. Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades are real-world proven for extreme weather performance. They last two times longer than other blades. New Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades only available at Walmart. My thanks to Therese Paler, Evan Fournier, Chuck Martin, and you clones. The XR4TI as well. See you tomorrow. We're out.